Tonight we have come together to celebrate the beautiful pastime that takes place on the Sharad Purnima. The pleasurable pastime of Lord Krishna, where in the groves of Vrindavan he performs the glorious Rasa-lila. I would like to read a particular sloka in this regard from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam kavibhyariditam kalmasapaham shravanamangalam srimadatatam bhuvigrinanti ye bhuridachannaha. The nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in this material world. These narrations transmitted by learned sages eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Certainly those who spread the message of Godhead are most munificent. This sloka is from the 31st chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Here the gopis are singing the songs of their separation from Lord Krishna. It is described by Srila Shukadeva Goswami that on this most glorious and beautiful of all nights of the year, Krishna was very much desiring to enjoy and give enjoyment in the association of his most blessed associates, the gopis of Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada explains that of all seasons, the autumn season is considered to be the most beautiful. And of all nights, of all auspicious occasions of the autumn season, the rising of the Sharad Purnima is considered the topmost beautiful offering of material nature. So upon seeing the beautiful moon rising over the horizon, beautiful reddish color, filling the skies with volumes and volumes of illumination, Lord Sri Krishna stood under the Bamsivat tree and played upon his flute. It is the flute of Sri Krishna that is the supreme most powerful force to attract the hearts of Krishna's devotees. Here in Bombay, and what to speak of the rest of this material world, people are very anxious to show their power, to show their strength, how they can subjugate others. People are setting off big, big bombs. People are building gigantic nuclear bombs, creating gigantic armies. just to show their power. But what is this physical material power? At the most, it has the power to destroy and create misery and pain to some tiny little portion of this one planet. But what is the supreme power? When Krishna plays upon his flute, he conquers the mind. He conquers the senses. The most formidable, unconquerable enemies of the world. When the United States dropped their bomb over Hiroshima, they could kill some bodies. But those men, with their bombs, they could not conquer anyone's mind or senses. In fact, it is the mind and senses that are the most dangerous, vicious, terrible, pain-giving enemies in all creation. Krishna's beautiful flute, which is filled with such sweetness, it conquers our mind and senses. In fact, it can conquer the entire creation, not with destruction and pain, but it conquers us with love and with bliss. This is Krishna's supreme weapon. His Sudarshan Chakra, when he appears in his Vasudeva feature in Dwarka or in Mathura, that chakra can conquer demons by killing their bodies. But his flute conquers the heart. And how does it conquer the heart of those fortunate souls who are simply willing to respond to his song? As Krishna played his celebrated flute, the vibration completely filled the entire atmosphere. Krishna desired that his own spiritual potency awaken the love of all of his devotees. And the gopis of Vrindavan, many of them who were formerly married, they were at homes on this night performing their ordinary activities. But when they heard Krishna's flute, they became mad. Mad simply to serve Krishna and to give pleasure to Krishna. We must know that the gopis cared nothing for their own pleasure or for their own sense enjoyment. They were going to Krishna to give him pleasure, to give him satisfaction. How? With their body, their mind, their words, their very lives. Some of them were milking cows. They left the cow with the bucket under him or her. Some of them were cooking milk on the stove for their family members without even bothering to take the time to remove the pot from the stove. They came running to the forest to meet with Krishna. Some of them were putting the kajal in their eyes, and just in the process they left. Some were getting dressed, and in such a hurry, they were putting the top half of their clothing on the bottom half of their body and the bottom half on the top half. Some were feeding their families, their husbands, their in-laws. They just left. Some were taking care of the small calves. Whatever they were doing, they understood that their first business in life was to please Krishna. This is why they are considered the topmost of all spiritual beings. Because first and foremost consideration was pleasing Krishna. If Krishna is not pleased, whatever activities we are performing are a failure. Samsidhya Hari Toshanam. And if Krishna is pleased, whatever responsibility we may be performing is perfectly a success. Those who understand truth evaluate only on this basis. Not how much money we're making. Not how much people of this world are happy with us and pleased with us. But is Krishna pleased? Krishna is the root, the cause of all causes. Devarshi bhutapti nirnam kinkar pitranam nakinkari nayam nanicha rajan sarvatmana yasharanam sharanyam gato mukundam bhariritya karatam. If you please Krishna, you have no longer any responsibility to the demigods, to the forefathers, to family members, to the great sages and saints, to all of the great kings. Because by pleasing Krishna, it is like watering the root of the tree. Automatically, all of your responsibilities are fully satisfied. And there is only one way to satisfy Krishna: by surrendering to his will. And that is why Krishna says in Gita, sarva dharman purityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall protect you from all sinful reactions. There is nothing to fear. Here in India, many people are very fond of playing Raslila with sticks, or talking about the Raslila, or seeing beautiful pictures of Raslila, or chanting sweet, melodious, poetic songs about the Raslila. But the question is, who can understand the dignity of the supermost heights of realization which this Raslila represents? First, understand the quality and the nature of the devotees called the gopis and how they surrendered to Krishna utterly. Then only can you understand even a drop of the ocean of the glories of the Raslila. Some of the gopis, they ran into the forest to meet with Krishna. Very difficult surrender. They did not know that anyone else was going. Each one was independently alone in the night, in the dark jungle. There are scorpions, there are snakes, there are dacoits, robbers, thieves, dangerous animals, tigers, lions. They were willing to risk their lives to satisfy Krishna. And more difficult than that is they knew that if they left home, they may never be allowed to return. Because their family members told them, you cannot go. They were strictly forbidden to leave the house that night. All the security of living at home for a young girl was being forsaken. Where would they live for the rest of their lives? They did not know, but they knew one thing, that for Krishna's pleasure, we are willing to renounce everything else. And one's prestige in society, especially amongst loved ones, is something that is extremely dear to a person's heart. For a young woman, her chastity is her life. You know the story of Draupadi, how she tried to keep her sari upon her body when Dushasana was taking it off, and how she was crying out to Krishna, please save my chastity. For a woman of civilized culture to lose her chastity is more painful than death. In fact, a woman will choose death in a moment before giving up her chastity. We see the quality of Sita. We see the quality of Draupadi. How she cried out with such helpless devotion, praying, Krishna, save me. And Krishna appeared as her sari to cover her body and save her chastity. We consider the surrender of Draupadi complete. But we consider the gopis millions of times more complete. Because although chastity was also more dear to them than their very lives, they were as virtuous as Draupadi in that sense. But they were willing to give it up in a second for Krishna. Some of the gopis, their husbands with sticks, forbid them to go. Literally, physically made it impossible for them. And they were burning so much in the pangs of separation, completely immersed in meditating upon Lord Sri Krishna, that they gave up their material bodies. What does that mean? That does not mean they died. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that there are different levels of gopis in Vrindavan. Some of them were Nitya Siddhas, who were the eternally transcendental maidservants of Krishna from the spiritual world who descended to assist in his loving pastimes. Some of them were completely perfected souls who had completely purified their love of God in this life or in previous lives. And they were being prepared for the spiritual world by taking birth as gopis in Vrindavan, sadhan siddhas, nitya siddhas. And we also read in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and in the Puranas about the Munichari gopis. They were living in the forest of Dandakaranya. And when Lord Sri Ramchandra was there, they were actually devotees of Krishna Gopal. And when they saw Ram, he awakened such intense love in their hearts that upon seeing Ram, they simply wanted to enjoy the love of being the consorts of Lord Krishna. They knew that they could not do it with Ram. He only accepts one wife, Sita. But Krishna allows this same intimate, ecstatic, conjugal relationship with any devotee who so purely desires. So they did not speak. They were simply praying in their hearts to Ram to give them this chance. And Ram gave them the benediction that when I appear as Krishna, you will be gopis in Vrindavan. So many of them, although pure devotees, they were still not of the highest state of purification. They still had some tinge of material conception in their life. Therefore, they were not allowed to enter into the Raslila. But by remaining home, completely burning in the fire of separation from being with Krishna that night, that fire of separation burned to ashes whatever little tinge of material conceptions were in their heart, and they became perfected. Those gopis who escaped, renouncing everything, they approached Krishna. standing under the Bamsiba tree in the forest of Vrindavan. And how anxious they were to see him, to serve him. And Krishna, just to increase the intensity of their devotion, he told them that it is no place for nice young girls like you to be here in the forest. It is very dangerous. And what will people say about you? Better that you all go home. And the gopis began to cry, with their toes looking at the ground. They were drawing curved lines in the dust of Vrindavan, and they began to speak. My dear Lord, you say we should go home, but to be with you is to go back home, back to Godhead, our supreme home. You are the supreme home for all living beings. Your lotus feet are the resting place for all living entities and all creation. You say that we should serve our husbands. That's what we have come here for, because you are the eternal husband of all living entities. Under illusion, we may have temporary relationships, such as fathers, husbands, children, and so forth. But for the soul, you are the eternal enjoyer of everyone. You are the eternal husband of every living being. So everything that you are saying, we are fulfilling by coming to serve you. And you are the life force in everyone's heart. If you leave anyone's heart, all that is left is a dead corpse. Who is it that we love? Who is it that we serve in this world? It is only you. The Jivatma that is giving glory to any life is part and parcel of you, my Lord. Therefore, we have come to love you, to serve you, to give your pleasure. Krishna, upon hearing their beautiful words of transcendental realization, he allowed them to take part in this beautiful pastime of spiritual love. We must know that Shukadev Goswami, he is narrating the Ras Lila, and he is considering that this Ras Lila is the suprememost expression of religious experience. It is the highest platform of love. Now, Shukadev Goswami himself, he would not have anything to do with any mundane romance. He was a completely transcendental person. He had attained Brahman realization within the womb of his mother. He was a perfect celibate, a perfect brahmachari. In fact, when his father, Vedavyas, wanted him to come out of the womb, he begged him, come out, come out. Shukadev Goswami, nothing doing. This material world is full of illusion. I want nothing to do with it. And ultimately, Vyasadeva had to go to Dwarka to get Krishna in order to attract Shukadev Goswami to come out of the womb. And when he began to praise the beautiful glories of Krishna, Shukadev Goswami came out simply to taste the sweetness of pure bhakti. And the greatest renunciates, the greatest sages in the entire universe were assembled in the bank of the Ganges that day that Maharaj Parikshit made the vow to fast till death. and only hear the pure glories of the Supreme Lord. And all these great sages, Vedavyasa, Narada, Vishishta, Vishwamitra, Atri Muni, Agastya Muni, Angira Muni, they all unanimously elected Shukadev Goswami to speak. Why? Because he was considered the purest, the most highly realized of all. When Shukadev Goswami glorifies the Rasalila, we can understand that this beautiful Rasalila has no tinge of material romance. Material lust is a perverted reflection of the original divine love of the spiritual world, which is expressed between Krishna and the gopis. Maharaj Parikshit, as Shukadev Goswami was narrating this beautiful pastime, he saw that certain members of this assembly on the bank of the Ganges, they could not understand. How is it that these young girls were leaving everything to meet another man in the middle of the night? Maharaj Parikshit inquired that the gopis did not even know that Krishna was God. So what is the difference between this and the ordinary love affairs of this world? And Shukadev Goswami, with great pleasure, answered this question. He said that the gopis had already attained previously the highest stages of liberation. They had no tinge of material desire. Under the Yogamaya potency, the spiritual energy of the Lord, this love was awakened in their hearts. And it was a love of complete giving of themselves. Material lust is exploitation. I want to be the enjoyer. But spiritual love is to give yourself utterly to be enjoyed by Krishna. Material lust is always frustrated. Whoever we try to find to have a romantic relationship with, it will be frustrated. But that desire for romance, which is within the heart of everyone, originates in the very soul, desiring that pure, unmotivated, romantic relationship with Krishna. The relationship of complete giving, complete sacrifice, complete surrender of oneself for the pleasure of the Lord. Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the inexhaustible, the inconceivable, and the infallible, any way you think of him, you attain the greatest benefits. Shukadev Goswami explains that Shishupal, he hated Krishna. He was envious of Krishna. But because he was always remembering Krishna in the intensity of that envy, he attained liberation. He merged into the body of Lord Hari. When Krishna is the object of our desire, be it negative or positive, we become completely purified. The gopis, they simply wanted to give pleasure to Krishna. And Krishna staged this wonderful pastime when he was only 8 years old. So for those unscrupulous speculators who want to assume that this Rasalila has anything to do with material life, a child 8 years old cannot enjoy romantic affairs. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. who is Rasaraj, who is the supreme king of all loving exchanges. And it is only because Krishna takes pleasure in enjoying these love affairs that we, as his parts and parcels, have the capacity to also long for love affairs. When we direct it toward Krishna, it is perfect. When we direct it toward any object of this mortal world, it is simply the cause of bondage and suffering, ultimately. Then Shukadev Goswami began to continue that as Krishna was so lovingly dancing with his eternal associates, the gopis, on this moonlit night in Vrindavan, each gopi was thinking that Krishna is only with me. Some commentators explain that as Krishna was dancing, he appeared to be in and between every gopi. And some say that he expanded himself between every gopi. But other great acharyas explain that he was just dancing so transcendentally fast that actually every gopi thought, he's only with me. This is his transcendental yogamaya potency. That they were not dancing with expansions of Krishna, but each one was with the original Krishna. So the gopis started to become proud that of everyone in Vrindavan, Krishna's only dancing with me. But they were not proud of themselves. They were proud of Krishna. They were not thinking, because of my greatness, Krishna has chosen only me. They were thinking, because Krishna is so inconceivably, wonderfully, and unlimitedly merciful, he's chosen me. They didn't know that every other gopi was thinking the same thing. So they were proud of Krishna. But Krishna wanted to intensify their love for him by breaking that pride. And all of a sudden, he disappeared. Now, from the point of view of an aspiring devotee, we can know that however advanced we might be, if we become proud, even of our own spiritual advancement, then Krishna will leave us. And when Krishna leaves us, what is going to protect us from Maya? Daivi heshu gunamai mama maya duratyaya mame vami papadyante mame mayam eta tarantite. Krishna says this material nature is very difficult to overcome. But one who surrenders to me can easily cross beyond it. Mahatmanastumam bharata daivim prakriti mashyata. The great souls, they are under the divine protection of Krishna. But as soon as we become proud, Krishna leaves us. And when we're not protected by Krishna, however great, however powerful, however advanced we may be, even the slightest influences of Maya can bewilder our mind and put us in illusion. So we should know that however advanced we become in Krishna consciousness, the test of our advancement is not how advanced we think we are, but how humble we begin to understand we are before God. The gopis were the supreme perfection of renunciation. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed, there is no renunciates like the gopis. And every sannyasi should aspire to follow in the footsteps of the gopis in their total renunciation. And Mahaprabhu explained how one in the renounced order has to seek such renunciation. Amanina manedena kirtaniya sadahari. We must give all honor to others and expect none in return. The humble heart is the heart that Krishna will always manifest himself through. Pride is the supreme greatest enemy for any devotee. It is a demon. So Krishna wanted to show that whoever you are, if you become proud, even one of his eternal associates, if you become proud, he leaves you. But this is a lesser understanding of this wonderful pastime. Because for the gopis, there was no question of material pride. Their pride was absolutely pure and transcendental. Krishna left them only to increase the ecstasy of their love. Even in this material world, it is said, absence makes the heart grow fonder. So Krishna wanted to encourage higher realms of ecstasy for the gopis, so he left them. And when he left, they became mad. That we have given up everything for Krishna, and where he's left us. They began to weep and cry. They began to call out at the top of their lungs the glories of Krishna and the names of Krishna. And they began to travel through the forests of Vrindavan. And as they were traveling looking for Krishna, they were so immersed in the thought of Krishna that their entire bodies and minds became one with Krishna's leelas. They were thinking of Krishna so much that all of them began to act just like Krishna. They began to perform the same pastimes as Krishna, with the same gestures and the same words as Krishna. One gopi would take the part of Putana, and the other would imitate Krishna, killing Putana. Another would take the part of Trinavarta, and her gopi friend would play the part of Krishna. Agasura, Bakasura, all these beautiful leelas of Vatsasura was being conducted amongst the gopis. They began to perform all the beautiful pastimes of Krishna in the forests of Vrindavan. And then they began to ask the trees, "Have you seen our beautiful lotus-eyed Shamsundar?" And the trees did not answer. They were thinking, maybe the trees, because they are males, they are not willing to tell us. So we will ask Tulsi, she's a female. "Tulsi Devi, you are always decorating the beautiful lotus feet of Krishna. You know what we're going through. Please tell us, where is Krishna?" But perhaps even Tulsi cannot tell us because of her confidential relationship with Krishna. So they began to ask the creepers. "Creepers, we see that you are embracing this tree in so many wonderful ways, but we see that flowers are standing on end. Therefore, Krishna must have touched you as he was roaming through these forests. Where is our Krishna? Where is that beautiful son of Nanda Maharaj?" And then they saw the small deer. "Oh, beloved deer, have you seen our Shamsundar, Gopinath, the Lord of our hearts?" And the deer In their minds, they saw that he was running away and looking back. And they were thinking, he's showing us the way where Krishna is. Let us follow. So they were following behind the deers. And then the deer disappeared. And they were thinking, the deer has taken us close to where Krishna is. But because the deer does not want to get in trouble with Krishna, he has disappeared. He must be close by. And then they looked on the ground and they saw the beautiful footprints of Krishna, which were decorated with all the symbols of Shyam Sundar, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they began to follow these footprints. And then they saw that there were two sets of footprints. Who is this most blessed and fortunate of all gopis? Krishna has left all of us to be only with her. And then they saw how Krishna's footprints, sometimes they were only half footprints. So they could understand that here, Krishna has picked flowers for Srimati Radharani, who is the best, supreme, most of all gopis. He's renounced all of us for her. And here we see that Krishna has sat down with Sri Radharani and he personally decorated her hair with flowers. And here we find that Krishna's footprints are slightly deeper in the ground. That means Srimati Radharani must have become tired and she asked Krishna to carry her. And then as they progressed further, they found Srimati Radharani sitting on the ground, weeping. She explained that I also became proud. I was thinking, let Krishna carry me. And he disappeared, and he also left me, just like the rest of you. Many of the gopis were the eternal maidservants of Sri Radharani, and they were so happy when they knew that Krishna left everyone for only her. And other gopis, just to increase the love affairs of Radha and Krishna, they appeared to be opponents of Sri Radharani, trying to take Krishna. But when they saw Radharani in her lamenting state, in separation from Krishna, they also, with great love, sympathized with her. Like us, you are also suffering the pain of separation. So all of them together began to seek Krishna. And they went deeper and deeper and deeper into the forest, trying to follow his footprints. But they went so deep into the forest that the moon was not even shining. It was so dark. And at that time, they gave up hope. And they returned to the banks of the Jamuna. And there, they began to sing these beautiful songs of separation. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very fond of these particular verses from the 31st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. In fact, Maharaj Prataparudra, he wanted to have the darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But because Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi and Prataparudra was a king, he was not allowed. So during the Ratha Yatra, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in a garden called Ayutthaya, resting after dancing throughout the entire day, Ramananda Rai, who knew Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's inner mood of love, he told King Prataparudra that if you want the darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, first of all, you cannot approach him as a king. You have to approach him as a beggar. Put on the clothes of a mendicant. Give up all your prestige and pride before you approach the Lord. And you sing these beautiful songs of the gopi separation from Krishna during the Raslila.
and he will be very much happy with you.
So Prataparudra Maharaj, in the robe of a beggar, a mendicant, he went into the Ayutthaya Gardens and he began to massage Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's legs and sing these beautiful songs of the gopis. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard them, he became so much happy. And when he read this particular verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into ecstatic, transcendental ecstasy. So much so that he embraced Prataparudra Maharaj again and again and again. And what is that verse? Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam kavibir iditam kalmashapaham shravanamangalam srimadatatam uvigrinantiye Burida Jana. The gopis are praying to Krishna, the nectar of your words. Prabhu embraced him and said, "You are most munificent. You are the most munificent." This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lila. How is he spreading the sweetness of the glory of the gopis' love? Through preaching the message of Krishna consciousness. The gopis themselves are saying, whoever preaches the message glorifying Krishna, whoever teaches others how to surrender to the loving service of Krishna, they are the most munificent. We can understand that someone like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur or someone like Srila Prabhupada, although they appear to be traveling around the world, defeating Mayavadis, defeating atheistic scientific arguments, declaring that you're not this body, some foolish, unintelligent people think that they are not on the same level as those Babajis who are just chanting the glories of Radha and Krishna. We hear from this verse, which was so dear to Mahaprabhu and which was spoken by the gopis, that such great souls are most munificent. According to the proper Siddhanta of Srila Rupa Goswami and the other great acharyas, they are performing the most munificent service to the Lord by broadcasting his glories to attract others back home, back to Godhead. This is the expression of Madhurya Ras in a way that is most dear to the Lord by such great personalities. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that what is the greatest and most important process by which we can be such munificent welfare workers by spreading the message of Godhead. And that is spreading the Harinam Sankirtan movement. You are now ready? Just a minute. You wait here and I'll... The offering is already... The gopis here are explaining, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has confirmed, that the most munificent service that we can render to Krishna in this world is to broadcast the glories of his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And tonight, because it's such a special event, Sharad Purnima, we are discussing in brief, but very carefully and cautiously, this highest and most confidential pastime of Lord Krishna. But we should know that by simply serving the devotees of the Lord and learning the process of congregational chanting of the name of the Lord, all of these wonderful sublime pastimes are revealed within our hearts. But simply by trying to discuss these pastimes or imitate them or meditate upon them, we will simply become confused. Because as long as one is tinged with material desires, it is an unavoidable tendency to take these beautiful pastimes to be something material. But Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us entrance into the wonderful Leela of Sri Krishna through the authorized process of Hari Kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Devotees would sometimes ask Srila Prabhupada, our Guru Maharaj, should we meditate on the Leelas of Krishna when we are chanting japa or chanting in kirtan? He said, if they come into your mind, let them come, but that should not be your attention. Your attention should simply be to concentrate on the beautiful sound of the name. Because in the name of Krishna, all his leelas, all his opulences will be revealed. That is the power of Krishna's name. And there is no greater service that we can render. There is no more munificent way of pleasing Krishna than helping to assist the propagation of the names and glories of God on this earth. So the gopis' songs of separation were so pleasing to the Lord. Sambhoga Vipralamba. He appeared before them. And as Lord Sri Krishna appeared before all of the gopis of Vrindavan, such wonderful, beautiful, loving exchanges they had that night, throughout the entire night. In fact, this particular night of the Ras Leela, in order to please the gopis, in order to allow the gopis to be pleased by pleasing Krishna, how does Krishna please the gopis? By giving them a chance to please him, because that's the only thing that pleases them. He extended this one night to last for an entire night of Lord Brahma, which is many millions upon millions of years. That is the power of Sri Krishna. It is explained that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the crest jewel of all Vedic literatures. And of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the tenth canto is the highest revelation of truth within the Bhagavad. And the five chapters of the Ras Leela express the purest, the highest, and the most intimate exchanges of love, spiritual love, in all of creation. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna and Radha, who have come in one form, he has come to give freely this highest expression of divine love, the chanting of God's name. So now it brings us the greatest pleasure and fortune on this most holy and auspicious occasion that we are all here assembled to see the beauty of Radha Gopinath in one of the most special darshans of the entire year. How sweet and beautiful this path of bhakti is. That with our own bodies that we have, these dirty, conditioned, material bodies, Krishna is allowing us to assist him in his beautiful, loving exchanges with Sri Radharani. This is all by the grace of our Gurudev. Nikunja Yuno Ratikeli Sijai. He is engaging us in these beautiful loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. Whether it is by washing the temple floor, or whether it is going out preaching, or whether it is cooking, or whether it is even cleaning toilets, or whether it is doing our job and giving some donation from it. Whatever our service is under our guru, we should know that it is assisting the love affairs of Radha and Krishna as the servant of the servant. But on holy nights like tonight, this special form of service we are allowed to enter into. We have read about the beautiful, glorious, confidential pastimes of the Ras Lila. Tonight, the devotees of the Lord have decorated the altar for the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. We should know that Radha Gopinath, of all murtis, what more suitable opportunity is there than to worship Radha and Gopinath? In this form, he is the Lord of the Gopis. And this is his night, that most precious night when we are allowed to assist him in his loving pastimes of Sharad Purnima. And how can we assist him? By simply, with great sincerity, affection and devotion, chanting his holy names. And when he sees us beholding his beautiful darshan on this night with great attention and devotion, that gives him great pleasure. So let us drink with our eyes, with our hearts, and with our souls the beautiful forms of Radha and Gopinath for their pleasure. And let us sing with such attention and devotion for their pleasure.